Coming up on KUCB News, John Luckin is extending his contract as Unalaska's interim police chief, and Governor Mike Dunleavy is reversing cuts to Alaska's low-income seniors. Stay tuned.
Programming on KUCB is made possible by Redfish Electronics, now providing new, used, and refurbished computers, tablets, iPods, MP3s, phones, phone accessories, and flat screens. We also carry external hard drives for your digital storage needs. Redfish Electronics is located in the airport parking lot next to Northport Rentals. Redfish Electronics can be reached at 359-2205.
Good afternoon. You're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM on Alaska. I'm Laura Craigle with some local news on Tuesday, August 13th, 2019. The city of Unalaska is relaunching its search for a permanent police chief. City Manager Aaron Reinder says officials have decided against offering the job to a candidate who came for an in-person interview last month. The man was never named publicly, but Reinder says he wasn't the right fit.
The individual that we had out really was great, and I mean, by no means is this any criticism on regarding him, but really kind of focusing in on the unique needs of our community and the organization right now.
Unalaska has been without a full-time police chief since the retirement of Mike Holman in January of 2018. Jennifer Shockley served as acting chief for about a year before resigning, which prompted the city to bring back former chief John Luckin on a temporary contract. That is set to expire at the end of August, but Reinder says Luckin is willing to stay on longer while the city continues its search.
He's definitely committed to the organization and the department and the community to make sure that we've got the right person in the right spot at the right time.
Beyond helping with recruitment, Luckin says he wants to stay in his post while the department continues investigating a fatal car crash on Mount Ballyhoo. Police are still working with state authorities and the Federal Bureau of Investigation to determine why a truck plunged off the mountain in May, killing two local high school students. Luckin says he knows the community wants answers.
I think we're close. You know, we're waiting on some outside agency information and reports to come back.
Meanwhile, the city is also restarting its search for a full-time finance director. That department has been led by interim director Jim Sharp since Clay Darnell's resignation in March. Reinder says city leaders are reviewing their recruiting strategies with plans to repost that opening sometime soon, along with the police chiefs. Officials have canceled tonight's meeting of the Unalaska City Council. With several councilors out of town, City Clerk Margie Veter says they don't have a quorum and cannot hold their scheduled session. The council's next meeting is set for August 27th. Governor Mike Dunleavy agreed yesterday to restore funding to the state's senior benefits program. The $21 million in general funds pays low-income seniors a monthly amount between $76 and $250. Dunleavy says he was moved to restore the funds that he had previously vetoed after seniors spoke out on the importance of the program. But as Alaska Public Media's Zachariah Hughes reports, the governor has signaled that many deep cuts will remain.
Well, hello, everybody. Can you hear me back there?
Dunleavy spoke at a senior center in Chugiak as a few dozen people ate lunch.
We're going to be finalizing our budget here this week, but I just want to let you know that the funding for senior benefits is going to be in this year's budget, and you should start receiving those benefits sooner than later.
The administration aims to retroactively pay benefits that have not made it to recipients since the start of the fiscal year in July. The state announced on July 1st that it would stop payments to more than 11,000 seniors in order to contain costs and reduce dependence of individuals on state funds. Dunleavy says hearing feedback from seniors and their families changed his position on eliminating the payments.
You hear more and more folks, their personal stories about how this income helps them oftentimes stay independent, oftentimes helps them with food. I mean, you really get down to basics when you're talking with folks.
For many at the Chugiak Eagle River Senior Center, the governor's visit was a surprise. John Kerr says he didn't pay much attention to the governor's remarks. He doesn't receive any senior benefits, and he has no plans of leaving his home for a supported living facility. Still, Kerr says for some residents, this is a welcomed reversal in the budget battle.
And I think it's going to help them. I mean, for some of them, that's a pretty would have been a pretty hefty cut.
Thomas Blavka agrees. He says the preservation of the senior benefits program was good news for people who rely on it, but he and his wife are more concerned about Pioneer Home rates increasing 40 to 140% starting next month.
It hurt. We could make it. Yeah, it hurt. Yeah. We're in our 90s now. So won't be long. We'll be using some of them facilities.
Restored funding for senior benefits does not affect other programs that have attracted attention, like those reduced subsidies to the Pioneer Homes. DHSS Commissioner Adam Crum says the administration is trying to give Alaskans a realistic picture of the state's financial expenditures.
The whole goal of the Pioneer Home rate was to make sure that we were meeting, actually advertising what the cost of care is. It's very expensive for us as a state to do this. We want to make sure we maintain the level of care for those individuals, but we also have to have the honest conversation of how much it costs.
At the highest level of care, that means Pioneer Home residents currently paying about $6,800 a month will see an increase to $15,000 a month. The administration is not yet certain when senior benefits payments will be dispersed. In Chugiak, I'm Zachariah Hughes.
While Dunleavy is restoring funds for some senior benefits, he is also cutting funding for Alaska's primary provider of real-time vessel tracking. Coast Alaska's Jacob Resnick has more.
After Governor Dunleavy's first round of vetoes, the legislature reinserted the $400,000 in cruise ship passenger revenue to support Alaska's network of ship tracking stations. That money would be drawn from the head tax paid by every cruise ship passenger that visits Alaska. The second time around, the governor vetoed it again. Dunleavy's spokesman Matt Shukro says the Marine Exchange has received about $2.8 million in head tax since 2013, and the governor feels it should look elsewhere.
There's an examination happening on all types of spending, and this is one organization that, while they have done good work, they seem to be an organization that has unspent funds that can begin looking at new ways to operate, and those monies can begin being dedicated to different port projects and communities.
That $400,000 isn't going to be used elsewhere in the state's budget because head tax money is restricted.
If we don't spend the money, it doesn't go anywhere. It just sits and piles up.
That's Marine Exchange Executive Director Ed Page.
It's not a fund that could be used for other public services or for schools or for housing or drug programs or what have you. It's restricted to maritime application.
His organization offers real-time vessel tracking for a fee to the maritime industry, everyone from cargo ships to cruise liners to oil tankers. The vetoed state funding would have been used to upgrade existing tracking stations. It would also add additional transmitters to reduce the number of dead zones where vessel tracking is spotty or non-existent. Page says Marine Exchange will dig into savings, but the funding loss will delay upgrades to infrastructure. The cruise industry hasn't weighed in publicly over whether it supported head tax funds going to Marine Exchange. Cruise Line International Association Alaska President John Binkley told Coast Alaska it's understandable for the Dunleavy administration to press the Marine Exchange to rely more on member fees. And many of the larger cruise lines in Alaska are already dues-paying members.
We think it's beneficial to the state and to maritime commerce, and that's why all of our members are participants in it.
Governor's Office spokesman Matt Shukro also noted the Marine Exchange has cash reserves on hand to draw from.
A lot of people candidly have said that they're very happy to see that they're able to afford a very nice facility that they have, and a lot of people see it as time that these funds go back into the communities as they're intended.
Page says the nonprofit does have about $2 million in savings, but that's out of fiscal responsibility, and they shouldn't be punished for it.
We don't do it like the federal government or state government, go by year, and spend all your money at the end of the year. That's a total waste of time in doing business. It's the worst budget model possible. We carry reserves so we can ride through the storms. We don't hope that a budget's going to be passed and whether we're going to exist in the future.
The line item veto eliminates 11% of Marine Exchange's $4 million annual budget. Nearly half of its funding comes from private industry. The U.S. Coast Guard makes up the rest. Reporting in Juneau, I'm Jacob Resnick.
We will bring you more on the state budget as it continues to develop. Dunleavy is expected to present his revised operating budget later this week. With Unalaska's Heart of the Aleutians Festival happening this weekend, musical guest John Beecher is holding a local workshop to create a theme song for the event. Unalaskans between the ages of 8 and 12 are invited to help craft the song Thursday evening at the community center between 6 o'clock and 8. Then there will be another workshop for teens and adults on Friday at the same time. You can hear the final song on Saturday when the John Beecher Trio takes the stage in downtown Unalaska. The Rhythm and Blues group is performing at the Heart of the Aleutians, which will start at 2 o'clock, and we will bring you more details on the festival later this week. And that's the news from Unalaska. I'm Laura Craigle, and you're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM. Find us online at kucb.org, and please stay tuned for your local and marine weather forecasts.